That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And oh, it's Saturday morning again, and it's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Good morning, Mr. Kyle.
Good morning.
And that's it this morning. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you what day is today, Kyle? 14th?
Sounds right to me.
I don't know what it is. Anyway, we're coming to you live.
It is the 14th, yes.
That's how it is when it's early on Saturday morning. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this 14th day of September 2013. And, boy, we've had the flooding down in Colorado. And now the Radio Ranch is up in just across the Colorado border up in Wyoming. And LaPorte is just south of the Colorado border, about a half hour each way, 30, 45 minutes. And I'm sure you've seen some of the flooding that's going on down in Fort Collins and LaPorte and, Boulder and Longmont and Jamestown got evacuated. That's up in the mountains, not to be confused with Johnstown over on the other side. And we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to ask for your prayers for our remnant that are out there as well, but we better open up with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone. Lord, to sit here and see in this beautiful day that you've given us. The clouds, the blue sky, the sun coming up, Lord. We can't wait till the true sun comes up, returns. Lord, we pray for that. Father, we do thank you for this day, this opportunity. We ask you to guide and direct our thoughts, our words. Lord, let this broadcast be a blessing to your people. Let it put a smile on your face, Lord. Let it be a good time of fellowship as we drink our coffee and speak with each other and read from your word. Lord, as we commune with you, we ask you to join us here. Pull up a chair and join us for coffee with the Wranglers. We do gather in your name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, the name that was in the beginning and is now and will be at the end. Good morning, Lord. Join us. We ask for your blessings on this day and on this broadcast. To your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And we're going to pray a little more, I think, before the morning is out, because we've, as far as we know, all the people at the church are okay. Haven't spoken with everybody because there's some phone lines down, and the guys down in Colorado are busy with things like that this morning. So we're going to open the phone lines up here. We'll have them open, and hopefully we can answer any questions you might have. Not really the Bible answer men, are we? But we have certainly some answers.
We're not the Bible answer men.
We're not. But
every Bible answer man I've ever heard didn't really know the Bible.
No. Well, if you don't know who it's about, it's hard to understand it. But there has been, if you've seen on the news, and Kyle, I know you've probably watched some of it.
Yeah, just the National Weather Channel. You know, I mean, they've been focusing on our area down there. I mean, that there's a beautiful drive, Highway 34, that goes up to Estes Park from Loveland. And man, what is that? The Big Thompson River that runs down there, or
well, there's
Little
several.
Thompson,
big,
or
the big, yeah, the Big Thompson and the Saint Vrain is another one that runs up there.
But it runs right next to the road on most of it, and it is, I mean, it looks like, well, it looks like the places you would spend a lot of money to go on the world's roughest raft road, you know, raft trips.
In many places, 34 is gone.
Oh yeah, the pavement is wiped out. Gone, you know,
and so. Headlines this morning, there's four fatalities they're allotting to it, dozens still unaccounted for. I mean, a couple hundred just in Boulder County that they haven't been able to get in contact with. The town of Lyon, L-Y-O-N, was basically evacuated because it was completely cut off. The little side roads going up to it just washed away. So the National Guard was evacuating those people most of yesterday. And there was some flooding there in LaPorte. Nothing to be compared to Boulder and those places, but there was. Well, Kyle, the phone's ringing this morning.
Already?
I'm ready for a cup of drink of coffee, so we'll just say good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, and how are you?
I'm all right. And yourself?
We're doing well. Doing well.
I heard you calling for a little bit of prayer, and one of the things I like to pray for is all the children damaged by vaccines.
Well, you got that. You know, you can go anywhere and you can see the results of those.
Yeah.
I'm seeing too much of it.
Yeah.
And it's painful to watch.
Yeah.
It is. You know, it comes to mind. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. He says, because you've rejected me, I've rejected you as being my priest.
Yeah.
And because you forget my law, I will forget your children. And that has happened.
I don't want to be called in that number. I don't want to be.
Amen.
One that was rejected, and I don't want to be rejected.
And
I don't want to be outside the gate snatching my teeth.
Amen.
I hear you. Who is this?
Oh, it's just Goofy down from Maryland.
Hey, Goofy. How you doing?
You know, Goofy, speaking of Maryland, I've got an email here. Someone wanting to get baptized in Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, Maryland.
I'll drive there right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me give you my office number at the front number, and you call me back after the broadcast this morning, after the top of the hour. How about that?
You got it.
Maybe 5 minutes after.
Maybe 5 minutes after, yeah. 307.
All right. Well, I'll keep me away from the Seventh-day Adventist church I was getting ready to hit.
Okay. Do you know our office number?
I've got it in the newsletter.
Yep, you do. Or if you got a pen, I'll be glad to give it to you. Either way.
Look, if you want to say it out loud for the other people, that's fine. But like I said, I got the Dragon Slayer right here.
Good enough. Good enough. And now how about that? I do,
that
Kyle.
Is,
I got a. I
is
got
that
a,
leading of the Holy Spirit?
It's an email from Kathy, and she's been talking to her boyfriend, Andy.
Hey, bro, if you want to get baptized, you get baptized.
And,
ain't no hesitating.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. So,
I mean, we got,
get this done right away.
How about that?
Cost.
How about that, huh? Well, we can sure do that. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother that called in this morning. And Lord, we do come against the vaccinations, the poison that our enemy wants to inflict upon us, wants to inflict upon our children. And Lord, they have. They not only want to, but they have for generations now. And we do see, Lord, from autism to just a whole run of diseases, the diseases of Egypt that are back upon us, back upon our children. But Lord, we do want to break that curse, that generational curse it may be, O Lord. We know your word is true, so we do. We, the remnant, we cry out. We put your word out, your truth. And Lord, we say we turn away from the lies of the world. And we return to you. We say, forgive us, Lord. We turn to you in repentance. Lord, in the Old Testament, it was in sackcloth and ashes. And Lord, let it be like that upon our heart as we return to you in repentance today. And say, we want to return to your word, to your law, to your ways, to your statutes, to your judgment, to your kingdom, so that you will not forget our children.
So it's your kingdom.
You will remember them and remember us. And Lord, we...
Your power.
We humble ourselves and we ask you to come and heal our land because it needs healing. Lord, we know that if we cry out to you and we return to you, Lord, it's pleasing to you and that you will come and heal our land and deliver us. And we pray that, Lord. And Lord, we thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, and we thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We have an email. There's a need for baptism in Maryland, and Lord, somebody from Maryland calls. So thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So be it.
All right. Well, call us back top of the hour, and we'll set this up. Awesome. How about that? Well, there's one thing I had to talk about this morning, or wanted to, and that's taken care of. But we do have a lady that emailed in just yesterday and said, my boyfriend wants to be baptized. We've been talking about it. And of course, we let him know, and I did yesterday, to look for a local Church of Christ, because normally... a Church of Christ will baptize properly.
And, normally.
Normally.
Yeah.
Right, normally. And we see that all across the country quite a bit.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago I went out, took a little vacation back to where I grew up, and there was a local Church of Christ there in the town that I'd never been to before, and called up the pastor, and he not only let me do it, in his baptismal, but I mean, he was there to watch it, and I mean, it was quite good, you know. I mean, I wasn't expecting that much hospitality, and you know, but obviously he understood the importance of it, and you know, he didn't know me from Adam, so to speak, he might have known you as Adam, he might have. I don't know about that, but so many don't know the Israel truth. But,
right.
But it was you know, quite impressive that he would open his doors like that. I think I've heard stories where they all don't do that. But and he was there.
Right.
He, you know, like I said, he didn't know me. He probably wanted to see if I even knew what I was doing. You know, who knows? You know, but it was good.
Good. Good. Well, praise the Lord for that.
And I wouldn't want to be caught in this flood without have been baptized first. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know. How many is missing, did you say? A lot?
Well, they're not saying that they're thinking they're dead, but, like, the numbers are over 200.
Four is dead, though.
Four confirmed fatalities and over 200 missing, and they just don't know. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard and Kyle. This is Tom in Texas.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
Tom, let me.
Hey.
Hey, let me pour you a cup there.
I'm
about ready to refill mine, so.
I'm gonna drink me some raw milk too here.
Too.
That's a phrase report that I found someone that they have their own cows and give me some milk.
Oh, that is. We're.
Can definitely tell a difference in drinking it. I mean, how I feel. I have a chronic pain issues a lot of times that fluctuate with the changes in the weather. And it kind of helps the pain a lot.
Yeah, well, it's real food.
And then I grew up on a dairy farm and everything. We used to eat real food all the time. Like when I met Pastor Peters and we went out to eat afterward, and we went to an IHOP in Houston. And, you know, he asked the waitress, "Is that real butter?" And I looked at him like, You're only the second man I've ever heard say that, other than if I say it. My father would ask that if he went to a restaurant and make sure he's getting real butter. He ain't getting none of that plastic crap.
That's right.
That's kind of interesting. I had a personal experience with a vaccine. I'd like to relay along for people's information.
Sure.
I had a tetanus shot one time, and I go to the VA, and they draw blood every time you go. And, well, they check my blood draw, and my hematocrit, hemoglobin, and red blood cell counts were all higher than normal, out of the range. They asked me if I did anything different or anything happened or anything or of that nature, and I couldn't think. Then it dawned on me that I had that tetanus shot. Well, I looked up some stuff on mercury, and mercury impairs your red blood cells' ability to carry oxygen, so your body is going to produce more of all of that, hematocrit, hemoglobin, and red blood cells. They tried to send me to oncology. And I told the oncologist there that, you know, this is caused by the vaccine. And I showed him the printout. This is what mercury does, and it's in the vaccines. That's what caused that, and it'll go back to normal. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's not true. That doesn't do that. Well, it says so right there, and it says that what's in the vaccine right on the insert. You know, and he got all mad and everything, and I just, this appointment's over with before it goes any further.
Right.
Well, and sure enough, the time went on. You know, it gradually went right back to normal, just like I said it would. I mean, if anything, that fool would have given me cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they set it up, and you know, I don't think it's very different than how the apostle told of the God. It just comes to me how the apostle told the gospel message to be spread, right?
Yeah, that
you planted.
I mean, I kind of thought that would be the if I was going to get any kind of a shot, that'd probably be a better one. But yeah. You know, not even that one's safe.
Well, you say that, yeah, that is, you know. But they have that 1, 2, 3, 4 punch. You know, you might get a shot here, and then it might make a little makes a change in your body or in your blood, and then you go to a different doctor or something later, and he checks it. Oh well, now we have to do this.
They wanted to put me on these other drugs. No, we ain't having this.
No.
I've had some pretty severe reactions to medications before. I had an operation for a heart condition, and one of those cardiac drugs gave me a drug-induced lupus. And that really, that really tore me up bad, that experience. But, you know, like I tell them about that, and they, you know, some of them are like, wow, I didn't know that about that. I'll tell the nurses in Walmart giving the shots, and I'll show them right on their ask to see their insert, show them that he's like, this has got the myrosol in it. That's a mercury derivative. And then tell them this thing about what the mercury does to the blood and altering blood values. And that's, you know, to the ignorant, you know, that's a bottomless pit to fall into that they set for you, a snare.
Yeah. Right. One thing that comes to mind is in Mark 16, it says, if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't say if everybody drinks poison, it won't hurt them, but it says if they.
So it specifies.
Yes, true. I mean,
so, you know, but you have to know who they are, and you have to know what they're doing to gain that protection.
Yeah, it's understanding the anatomy of a spell and the purpose for one, that you can spot it, you know, to subdue opposition and gain affection.
Yeah.
You know, if you can recognize that tendency and lots of things, you can spot, you know, spot it in somebody's words. You know, you're some of the speeches of listening closely to Obama's speeches, he'll say one thing, and then the next sentence will just contradict it.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. Does that all the time.
Yeah, does it all the time. He said this, and now he's saying this. You know, and the most, everybody's all, well, they're in that state of doublethink under that spell, you know, holding two opposites in their head valid at the same time. That's out of the book 1984, that sorcery spell casting is.
Yeah, doublespeak. And the pastor addressed it. We've got a little pamphlet that's double-minded people.
Yeah.
We're ruled over by a two-horn, two-party professional hysteria acting as a dialectic.
Yeah.
To paraphrase Revelation 13:11.
Yeah.
At least that's what I get out of that.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's definitely two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon.
Yep. Well, Tom, we appreciate the call this morning. Hope you have a blessed day. And
you
we
too.
Know, we
Good
we know
to hear
at least...
you all live, and God bless you all.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
I'll be praying for all those in the church up there.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now when I hear Tom, I think of the full armor of God, you know, because he sent those little things. Those
yep.
were pretty awesome. Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss. This double-minded stuff, this double-think stuff, this, well, forked tongue, whatever you want to call it, it's been going on for years.
It is. It is. And it's mainstream now. It's so mainstream that it is, that I think one of the biggest double-mindedness things in the church world today is the very description of it that they use, the Judeo-Christian ethic.
Yeah.
You know, I got a thing in the mail. We ordered some new books recently, and it's from a patriot conservative supposed, you know, Christian group. And, and so one of the big things that they put out is, oh, they're, you know, we have to return to that Judeo-Christian ethic. Now, when you have somebody saying that, it's they are deceived or they're a deceiver, one or the other. And so when you hear somebody out there that starts promoting the Judeo-Christian ethic, they are either deceived or a deceiver.
Yep.
And this group that put this out that we got, they're a big group. But there was the Judeo ethic denies Christ. The Christian ethic is based on Christ. So how can you have an ethic that works those two together, brings those two together? And you can't. Is the whole deal. Well, let's go back to the phone lines, Kyle. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning. I've always been under the, you know, we hear this phrase 6 million, blah, 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 you know, and I've always been under the impression that the Jewish population of Israel is approximately 6 million. So yesterday I actually put that into the search engine, and I found a website called Jewish Virtual Library that said that as of September 2013, the Jewish population makes up 6,066,000. 666 6066000. Isn't that unbelievable?
No, I believe it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's unbelievable, but it's sure interesting.
Yeah. I'll send you a if you have an email, I'll send you a link to that if you want to see it.
I do. Do you have our email address?
Yeah, what is it?
It's a preacher, you know, preacher like on Sunday morning. Preacher at sfaw.org. And that's our email here, preacher at sfaw, that stands for Scriptures for America Worldwide, .org. And, yeah, do that, and I'll sure look into that.
I love looking at stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
And the phone number, if you want to call in this Saturday morning, the 14th, 2013, is 307-745-5913. And this is Ranch Wrangler Richard and Ranch Wrangler Kyle here. And we just, you know, I think the roads are open. I think we're going to be able to get to church tomorrow. I know 287 down there in Colorado is closed. They're at Fort Collins somewhere, so they may... I think.
Well, then, how are we getting to church?
Well, I think we can. I think it's closed on the other side. Yeah. I hope so.
That'd be the Loveland side.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't go through Loveland because where those rivers rip through, they just took bridges out left and right. And
I can't believe that it. I mean, I can believe it, but it affected so much of Interstate 25.
I think they have a lot of that back open, but this morning. From the Wyoming border to Fort Collins, interstates closed north and south. And I know they did have it closed further down, like where the Big Thompson River crosses interstate. But I just don't know if they've got that open or not. But it was some devastating floods.
Yeah.
Devastating floods. And, you know, when Tom called in, I had mentioned here about being able to drink any deadly poison. And you can find that at the end of Mark 16. It's talking about
the Great Commission.
The Great Commission. And I'll pick that up. I see Kyle's looking something up, so I'll read this while he's doing that. Starting in verse 14, now Christ has arisen. He's come back, and they see him. And it says, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, usually it's just old doubting Thomas that gets nailed with that. That, you know, well, I'll believe it when I see it, he said.
Uh-huh.
And he did believe it when he saw it. But he wasn't the only one. He just got, you know, he just got mentioned by name. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And if you look in the history between today and that day, there has been a group of people that have done that. Now, it hasn't been completely done yet, but there has been a people that have gone into almost all the world and preached the gospel to almost all of creation. And that in itself should let you know, Remnant, who his people are. And it truly is. It's just another one of the marks of Israel to let you know who he was talking to here. Because the people that he was talking to here are the people over the last 2,000 years that have done that.
Yeah. Well, you can read the beginning of it and the Great Commission, or the 70 that he sent out, or the 11 out of 12 of the apostles. You can read the start of who started doing that, and you can start forming the picture there.
Right.
You know, and then right. And then we have history books and just things passed down, and you know if you've been around at all, if you haven't lived in a hole in the hillside. Who's been spreading the gospel news right. for 2,000 years.
Right. And then if you can see what people have been spreading the gospel for 2,000 years, then also you can look on the other side and see who has not been
yeah.
spreading the gospel for the last 2,000 years. You can see what people...
Or who's came against the gospel
yes.
for 2,000
yes.
years.
And we read on. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Now, my dad used to have a saying, you know, you'd get something that was just right, and he knew it, and he would say, now you can take that to the bank.
Yeah.
And that was an old-timer saying.
Yeah.
You know, that was right. It was, it was. And that right there, you can take to the bank. He who has believed, and there's more to believing than just believing, there's action. That word believed denotes acting on that belief as well, and obeying. And has been baptized shall be saved. Yep, that's the truth. But he who is disbelieved shall be condemned. And yep, that's the truth too. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And we have to continue to do that. That's been done for the last 2,000 years, but, you know, it's just as relevant today, I think, as it was then. And we have to continue to obey that and all that goes on along with it.
You know, you brought up one of the biggest doublethinks out there today is that Judeo-Christianity. And there was a couple of verses I read Tuesday night on Saddle Up that I really had never, I'd read across that really hadn't focused in on it. But and it's in Galatians 1, and it's verses 13 and 14. And it's Paul describing himself when he was Saul. And we all know what Saul did. He persecuted the church. He was opposing Christianity. And here's his words. He says, for you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. And that says a lot right there. I mean, and you never hear about that off the church pulpits as they're calling themselves Judeo-Christian. I mean, it is, like the pastor used to say, it's like saying a virgin whore. I mean, it's complete opposite. One is against Christianity, which Saul was, and he was going, what, in Judaism, mm-hmm. you know, by the teachings of the ancestral people. And that's the ones that came back to Jerusalem out of Babylon with, remember Edie brought that up a few Saturdays ago, a month ago or whatever it was, about, you know, the stuff, the Talmud and the Kabbalah and all this stuff, you know, that teachings of men, you know, and that's what Saul was doing. He was so, I mean, he had the right spirit, so to speak. I mean, he was going, it's better to be hot or cold than lukewarm.
Yes.
And he was definitely hot for what he believed, you know.
Right.
And, but he was going against Christianity. He was opposing Christianity rather than being for it. You know, and it was, and he called it what it is. It's Judaism. I mean, just don't get around it. Anyway, have you really ever concentrated on those two verses? I mean,
no.
It's like it just went over my head before, you know, because.
Well, and it defines it. The Bible defines it. Judaism. My reference Bible goes back to Jeremiah 9:14 with that. And if you pick it up in 13, it sets the precedent of that, of what that exactly is. And I just wondered, those ancestral traditions, which is Judaism that he's describing. And that's Jeremiah 9:13. And then, caller, we'll get right to you. The Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, nor walked according to it. That sets it up. And here, 14. But have walked after the stubbornness of their heart, and after the Baals, as their fathers taught them.
Yeah. And Jesus Christ rebuked them or condemned them by saying, you know, your traditions of men, you know, I mean, in such a, it was exasperating him, you know, I mean, even though he knew it, you know, it still exasperates you even when you know it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Got an interesting quote for you here real fast, and then I'll move on to something else. This is by Ignatius, which was, that was one of the early second century Christians. Anyway, this quote says, "It is absurd to profess Christ Jesus and to Judaize, for Christianity did not embrace Judaism, but Judaism Christianity, that so every tongue which believeth might be gathered together in God." Then a little further down in this writing, he goes into it again. He said, "It is absurd to speak of Jesus Christ with the tongue, and to cherish in the mind a Judaism which has now come to an end. For where there is Christianity, there cannot be Judaism." Yeah. So, you know, this is the thoughts of your early Christians, quite contrary to the modern churches that just embrace it.
Oh, they embrace it. They have brought Judaism into their name.
Yeah.
I mean, long ago they brought them into, years ago they brought them into their actions and their thought processes, and you'll still see it around Easter. You'll see these crossroad churches and these churches of what's happening now. They'll bring some antichrist in there and blow his shofar horn, and come in with his long tassels and he'll come in with his with his fake language. And the people just, we're getting back to our Christian roots. And it's like, no, people, you're embracing the Antichrist. You're embracing those that deny that who you claim. And it does. I can't help but see the little drawings the pastor had put in that double-minded people pamphlet. The eyes wide open, and those eyes are just spinning around. And the spell is you're moved to inaction. You can't do anything. You become lukewarm and stay in that lukewarm spell. Good quote.
Well, anyway, you know, going right along with that, I got to tell you a quick story about something else there that goes right along with this. This was last spring. I had called on some equipment that I had wanted to buy, and this was a guy down in I think it was in the Tennessee area, and this was Friday when I talked to him. He said, "Well, I can't ship the thing to you tomorrow because tomorrow is the Sabbath." And I said, "Okay." And he says, "Well, I can ship it to you so Sunday, you know, I can get it ready Sunday or Monday, but I can't do it tomorrow because that's my Sabbath. He says, do you have an issue with that? I said, I have no issue with whatever day you do, whatever you do. And he says, well, I use Saturday as a Sabbath because the Jews do. And I said, oh. He says, well, he says, they ought to know. They're closer to God, right? they're so closer to God. Yes, that's why in AD 70 that Jerusalem was destroyed. Christ predicted that it was going to happen. He laid it all out in the vineyard parable. But these people, you know, and when I told that guy that, he goes, oh, you know, right away his wife jumps out there and says, God would never destroy Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I said, huh? He did it twice, at least twice.
Yeah. You know, if you're close to God, you know the Son. If you don't know the Son, you're not close to God. I mean, it's just so simple. You know, I mean, it's gone over and over and over in the Bible, but they just refuse to hear it. You know?
Yeah, they do.
Anyway, on another note, I wanted to tell you about a couple quotes from the new Pope. He came out, this was a couple months ago, he came out with a statement that he was going to create a new transparency to address the problems of the what had been going on in the previous Pope's administration. He wanted to create a new transparency within the hierarchy of the church. And to do so, he says, well, I gotta tell you that there's a very powerful gay lobby within the hierarchy of the Vatican. And then he goes on to say that
sorry,
the
Kyle.
Problem, this really shows you the thought process of this guy. He says the problem is that the gay lobby has been being blackmailed by some other parties to get state secrets. He says the real problem is not they're being gay, it's they're being blackmailed for it.
Yeah. Well, it's
uh-huh. Well, if they weren't gay, they wouldn't be blackmailable.
Yeah.
You know? And then he released another statement here. Oh, this was just about 3 weeks ago, where he said, I will not judge a Christian because he's gay. Now think about that contradiction.
Well, yeah, see, it does many things. It puts in, one, oh, we're not the judge, and two, you can be Christian and gay, you know,
right.
And the Pope is wrong. The Pope is one day he's going to be dead wrong, but he's dead wrong. Because being gay, being queer, being homosexual is a sin, and you cannot be you can't have both. You can't be a Christian and you can't be a sinner in that sense, practicing, because they're on opposites. Well, hey, we got another caller. We're going to try to get that. Good talking to you. Sure appreciate those good comments.
All right. Well, talk to you guys.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
And knowing that when Christ came for us, we were in our sin, but we weren't Christians. Right?
It's true.
I mean, you know, and so someone that will practice a sin, someone that goes out and continues to murder, and murders and murders and murders, we don't call that person a Christian, even if they say they're a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian as they're killing people, murdering people that don't deserve to be murdered. That's not a Christian. An adulterer, someone that's going out and sleeping around with other men's wives. That's not a Christian. By their fruits you shall know them. And someone going out doing those things that homosexuals do is not a Christian. It's as simple as that, because when you are living in sin and practicing sin, you ain't practicing being a Christian.
That's right.
Opposite ends. Let's see if this caller held on. Hey, good morning, caller. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Richard. Hi.
Hey.
Joe Kwan.
Good morning, Joe. Let me pour you a cup.
Appreciate it.
You might need a little coffee after holding on. I saw you holding there for a few minutes.
That sounds good.
It does. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah, a couple drops of cream in there, if you would.
Oh, some of that raw milk cream now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, earlier in the, I caught the first part of your talk there with Kyle. You were talking about the Bible Answer Man, Walter Martin. And I remember about 10 years ago,
I thought it was Hank Hannon.
There were
several.
Doing,
yeah.
I was listening to a tape by, I forget who put it out, but it was a tape of him and a rabbi arguing on a New York City AM radio station in the wee hours of the morning, and he laid into that rabbi, man. He was knocking him down every point by point. So there is some good in that. And I understand he was a Baptist minister somewhere in New Jersey, but
I know that Kyle has talked about listening to him at times, I have as well. You know, every now and then I'll catch it I don't get it too much anymore, but I have heard it in the past.
Yeah, I haven't heard it for years.
And, you know, if nothing else, it's good to listen and hear how
if you want your blood to rush a little faster, it doesn't take too long. Sometimes it'll take 5 minutes, sometimes it'll take 10 minutes, but most of the time it takes about 1 minute.
Oh man!
You know.
How many times have I listened to that and you just yell out, "You're wrong!" You and catch yourself. That ain't right. But that's, you know, not that you try to listen to that, but that's that Judeo-Christianity. And for you to know how to counter that, if you know how they think and how they look at it, like the Ryrie Study Bible, you can read in that. Oh, many people like that, and you know, but it throws baptism out,
yeah,
like the baby with the bathwater. Oh, it doesn't mean four doesn't mean four. Well, no, yeah, it does, and so. But when you can see things like that, when you can hear these so-called Bible answer men or these, and they are either deceived or deceivers.
Oh yeah,
one or the other. I don't mean to just condemn all them to hell, but they're, you know, oh, when they answer,
they condemn themselves
properly by their own words.
Absolutely,
they do, and the Bible, Matthew says that, I think, and that's just what they do. It truly is. But you can gain some out of that. You know, everybody can be an example to you. Some are good examples, some are bad examples. But
amazing thing listening to that too, because it was on a in New York City, no less. You know,
yeah,
that's the place it should be.
Jewish capital of the world. You know, and here's this guy, you know, standing up. I mean, he did all inadequacies aside, he was standing up for Christ against this Antichrist. And there's Long John Neville. He was the talk show host at that time. And he's long dead, too, but he was Jewish as well. So,
yeah.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Joe.
Have a great weekend.
Okay. Have a good one.
And again, the number, 307-745-5913.
That kind of reminds me of some other people. You've never met them, Richard, but some other people that left my old church, you know. They left one church that had fallen away, and they went to another church that, whether they ever was, I don't even know, but they were definitely teaching things that were falling away. And he made the statement to me one time, and he didn't make the statement looking at me with his eyes, you know, because a lot of times when statements are made that aren't true, they won't look at you with their eyes. But he made the statement, "Well, there's no church out there that's right. You know, they got everything right." And I said, "That's a lie." I said, "There might not be a preacher out there that has all truth, but there's a church out there, it's called the Body of Christ, that is absolutely got everything right." And that's what the church is. The church isn't a building you go to, you know. And I think of this, you know, because I don't know anything about this guy that Joe was talking about, but he was obviously telling some truth about the Jews, you know. But did he have baptism down? Did he? I don't know what he had down and what he didn't have down. But there's more than a 50% chance that he didn't have it all down.
Right.
You know. But the church, the true church, has it all down. They do have it all down. Now we might not have it all together right now. But there is a true church out there, and it teaches only the truth. You know, and things that are taught that aren't true, well, that's not the church teaching it. You know,
right?
Because Christ don't teach things that aren't true.
Right.
You know,
it is. Doesn't mean that they have everything perfect.
Absolutely.
Because there's only one that's ever been perfect, and we put him on the cross.
But that's the goal. That's the goal. To be perfect.
Right.
You know?
Lombardi had a goal about that. You know, we can't achieve perfection, but we can seek
Lombardi,
it.
Lombardi, the football coach?
The old football. Yeah. I think it was something like that. We may not be able to achieve perfection, but we can seek it.
Right.
And that's what we do. Let's go back to the phone lines. Three lines ringing over here. Kyle and that short little dissertation. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I wanted to say years and years and years ago, the Bible would talk about adultery, and the way we use the word today is incorrect. The way we use it today is more like fornication, when you run around doing things with other people's wives and such. That's fornicating. Adulterating is when you adulterate the blood. I believe the commandment used to say, thou shalt not mongrelize. Then it said, thou shalt not adulterate the blood, which means to bastardize your bloodline. Have you ever run across that?
I've heard that before. I heard it more with the word fornication, actually. Jesus did say, if you lust after a woman with your eyes or your heart, I don't remember which, that is adultery. You know, so there is a form, there definitely is a form of the way we teach it that is true. But yeah, I've heard that. In fact, Pastor Peters, I don't know if he taught a whole sermon on it, but I remember him bringing it up in some of his interracial marriage stuff.
Yes.
And I think he used the word fornication, but I'll have to go back and look at that. But you're right, there's way more to those words than how we use them.
Yes.
You know.
Yes,
well, now
is.
They're teaching it in school. They're teaching all of our little girls to just breed with everything.
Yeah, they are. That it's not only fornication, but it's
adultery.
It is,
and
it's both.
Entertainment world. They teach it so many angles.
Oh, yeah. It is.
You know, did you ever hear the story of the long-haired female, the short-haired female rabbit, and the long-haired male rabbit?
No, but we are kind of a family program, and so just to set that precedent.
By the time the female rabbit has had her third litter, she now has long hair because the blood of the male mingles with the blood of the female and changes her DNA.
Yeah, telogeny. Pastor Jones did a great sermon on that. We have that available. So, well, hey, thanks for the – we'll try to get these other callers. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye.
All right. And we'll see which button we can push here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, hello, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yeah, I called to hear a little more about baptism, but after hearing the other guy, I'm reminded of mortos, is the Greek word. There was a
Greek word for what?
Put out of the book called the Sixth Law of God.
And what was the Greek word again? What was the Greek word again?
Mortos. I think it's the way you pronounce it.
And,
I don't know. I'm American.
And what's it for? What's it about?
It's about adultery. And in the original language, it's like if you drop like a splash of ink into like a pure substance. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The way it mixes.
Sure.
It needs to adulterate.
Sure.
It means to, you know, change the blood. It's not about, you know, illegal sex so much as fornication is. I mean, fornication is more about, you know, being with your wife on your menstrual period or
unlawful carnal.
Going,
yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
The other things, but adultery is more about mixing blood.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Because when you adulterate something, that's what you do. You're affecting.
You're adulterating bloodlines. Yeah.
Right. Right. And that is not taught today. You're right. They change the words. They change the word meanings.
Yeah, I think the Catholics were behind that. If you look at the history of where the scripture got switched,
might have been. Well, John's been doing a lot of Catholic research. We'll have to run that by him and see if he's found that in. In his.
Tell him to check out B.S. Harrell's work.
All right.
I think it's a little pamphlet I had years ago called The Sixth Law of God.
All right. We'll do it.
Might shed some light on that.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Would you be so kind as to talk more about baptism in the kingdom?
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't talk enough about
it. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. And one more phone line ringing, see if we can take this. Good morning, caller. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Robert from Michigan.
Good morning, Robert.
I have a question there. I heard you guys just a few minutes ago talking about, like, the Ryrie Study Bible.
Uh-huh.
And that's the one I've been using. I mean, it's a NASB, and it's, I noticed, like, a lot of you guys is preaching, and the pastor, he uses that. Is the Ryrie, like, a bad version of it? Or?
Well, he uses the NASB, and Kyle and I both have the NASB open here, and there's a Septuagint behind me. There's a Farrar Fenton here, and we'd certainly use King James as well, an English Standard Version. I think the problem that has come up that I've heard the pastor mention is
the commentaries. Yeah.
And so, So if you know, and we've only got about another 8 minutes here on the program today, but the commentaries under Acts 2:38, and I've read this in—I don't have a Ryrie study in front of me, but I've read it.
Right here in front of me.
In the pastors, the commentaries. Read the commentaries, but maybe not out loud here, but when you get a chance, the commentaries on Acts 2:38. You know,
and he would read the beginning of the book too, where Ryrie would say, as you read the Bible or what, you know, and you want to learn more, go down to my thought, you know, my comments, and you know, and that, you know, and he basically, so he would direct the people to read his comments on what that piece of scripture meant. But the problem is when your comments are wrong,
when they contradict what the Bible says, when they're a false doctrine, right,
then all these people that read this Bible and think that they're learning God's word are actually learning
it's the commentaries.
Yeah.
Right, the commentaries. And so,
in other words, stay away from the commentaries.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so, well,
and I suggest that on all commentaries, because everybody, you know, some guys might have more than others, but all comments are comments.
Comments. They're not, know? Right. The old Geneva Bible, you know, which predates the 1611, you know, the 1611 King James. Oh, yeah. Boy. Woo, man, raise your hands and say hallelujah when you say that out loud, you know, according to most of the so-called Christian world. Yeah. But the Geneva Bible, I see one on the shelf, you know, I've got an old reprint, and it is full of comments. Yeah. And when you read them, most of them, you know, now I can't tell you which ones are bad, but when you read them, man, they just, you know, they apply, it's the applied word, but it's comments.
Yeah, I got a Matthew Henry's commentary Bible. You know, Matthew Henry is a good man as far as I know,
sure,
but some of his comments are like, man, I don't think
right.
He's right.
And so that's the thing, Robert, is the commentary. So that. Take a look.
The NASB is a good one to read. Just don't take too much into heart on the comments, though.
Yeah, you have to, like we said earlier, you can have good examples, you can have bad examples, and you know, the pastor taught and said many times, and we do our best to repeat it, don't believe me. But read it for yourself in the Word.
Right.
But it's the same way. Don't believe what Ryrie writes. Don't believe what Matthew Henry might have written, you know, on just itself. But see if the Word backs it up.
Right.
You know? The other caller mentioned, you know, hey, talk a little bit more on baptism. Well, baptism is, like we read in the Great Commission, you know, and you can read it all. You can read it in Galatians. You can read it in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
That's baptism by immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is when you become a Christian. Baptism is when you contact the blood of Christ. Baptism is when we join with him in his death, symbolically, so that we can join with him in the resurrection.
Yeah.
And for, you know, that is the basis. That is one of the foundations. Jesus Christ is a cornerstone, absolutely, and baptism is as well, right there with him. That's how we get to that cornerstone. And so when you have most of society today saying it's not for, it's because you already saved, it's an outward sign of an inward grace, they are liars, because the Bible is truth. And it's a passionate thing, but it's because so many, purposefully or because they're deceived, lead people astray. And so do that. Read the commentary on Acts 2:38. Maybe give us a call next Saturday, and we'll talk about it some more.
Yeah. Okay, hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Kyle, we got about 5 minutes, and the phone's ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, sir. I just called the Loveland Museum Gallery, and they are closed for the weekend because of flooding. Do you remember Kathleen Folden?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We remember that there was some good Christian that remains unknown that bailed her out of jail.
Yeah, well.
But we're not naming names here.
Right. I guess they're underwater or in trouble.
Half of Loveland is underwater. The river runs right through the middle of it, and it split the town in half. Those were headlines. And the pictures were devastating.
The museum is run by the city. I didn't realize that. I just found that out.
Yeah.
Well, God is not marked.
No, he's not. He's not.
Thank you.
Hey,
thanks,
thank
Bill.
You.
Well, I'll go over a couple of scriptures real quick.
Yes.
Being the caller asked for it. First of all, in 1 John, the Gospel of John, it tells you that's how you enter the kingdom of God, is by being born of water and of spirit. You can read that 1 John 3 through 5. See, things that are born of flesh are flesh. Things that are born of spirit are spirit. And so there's a certain thing you have to do to enter the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom's here, folks. There's a king, and his name's Jesus Christ. He's on the throne today.
Yeah.
But if you want to be in his kingdom, you can't walk 20 miles and find his kingdom. You can't drive over or fly over to Old Jerusalem and find the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God... Right now, until he comes back the next time, you enter that by being born of water and a spirit. And of course, you can read how you do that in Acts 2:38. But I'd like to go to Galatians 3, and been reading this quite a bit lately. But it rings home because most people. I'll just read it 3:26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And I'll stop there. Faith was mentioned there. You know, the faith-only people. Faith is mentioned all throughout Christianity and all these denominations. Faith, 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 faith. But yet they don't read these verses. You know, anyway, I'll read on. If I can. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, the heirs according to the promise. Now we've heard from the Israel Truth people that last verse, we heard from the faith-only people the verse before, but what we haven't heard is verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. We haven't heard that. And if we have heard it, they pervert the word baptism or whatever they do. They go to the Ryrie Study Bible and use his comments or whatever they do. They say it's an outward sign of an inward grace. You know, but what all you have to do is go back to Acts 2:38, go back to the Gospel of John in first chapter, or go to Romans 6. You read that, I think, last Saturday. Maybe you read it Wednesday night, but Romans 6, verses 3 through 5, where it tells you how to obey the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, and that you will be joined with him. You know, or you can go to Colossians, and you can find out what the circumcision, the covenant of circumcision that we're under today, and that's the circumcision made without hands. Colossians 11, whatever, what is it? Colossians 2, verses 11 through 13, I think. And it tells you how that is, I think in the King James it says, that's the operation of God. That's how God operates.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, that's a quick rundown
that
in just a few minutes. And
that is.
But if you keep listening to Scriptures for America, whether it's Pastor Peters or Richard or Jason or me or John or whoever it is, you'll hear more about baptism.
Amen. Well, hey, we thank you for joining us. We're out of time. This has been Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Hope you come to church with us tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake-eyed. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake-eyed. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake-eyed. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.